Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, so down in Birmingham, not too far from here, American Media Days are going on. And, of course, we have, Jeff Goodman and Rob Doster down there, Parth Podjais down there. So we have plenty of coverage down there. Penny Hardaway, Aaron Bradshaw, and Doug McDaniel representing the University of Memphis. And I haven't got a chance to listen to the entire interview with Penny and Jeff and Rob Doster because obviously we're on the air and it's going on as we're on the air. But I was sent this clip, which maybe it'll warm your heart a little bit, Jason. Maybe it'll, you know, make you smile. Jeff Goodman, Rob Penny Hardaway face to face, you know, take a listen. I'll tell you what, man, Penny did not sound right. He did not feel, he was not in the mood for Goodman today, I got to tell you. He's like, come on, bro, I got to do what I got to do, bro. You going to say what you say? And then Jeff was like, and you did last year. And Penny was like, yeah. So, I mean, Penny's like, he forgives, but he doesn't forget kind of thing, it feels like with Goodman.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Which is fine.
Yeah. I thought he handled that well.
No, he did.
And I feel good because last week we're sitting here telling Cal, who's saying Penny should fight. We're sitting here telling him, you know what? I think Penny's kind of turned a new page and it seems to have created a peace for him. So just in the sense that from Penny's standpoint, we thought it felt good for him. Forget what happened that season. Hey, they had a good season, all that. I'm just saying, you know, trying to get the media to all like you.
Yep.
I mean, you'll never get it that way. That's
Agreed.
Sort of a dream. Again, they're going to like you when you're winning, as Penny sort of touched on, and they're going to hate, you know, they're going to criticize you when you're losing. He seemed to come to that realization, you know, before the start of last season, coming out of that offseason, which he was so, seemed like personally offended. And so I'm glad that he's sticking with that. I thought it sounded to me like it was real. That Penny was, what he was saying to Jeff, you got a job to do. Understand you criticize me.
That's right.
I mean, Penny knows that he's got a 1-3? It's 1-3 in the postseason?
Yeah.
Hadn't gotten to, okay. Yeah. Needed to correct that. Needed to improve that this year.
Yeah, 1-1, and then 0-2.
Right. Felt like it was going to at least
be, better,
2-3.
Yeah.
When you got the 5 seed, but
right.
That's it. So Penny knows that. He's not running away from that. I think he handled it well.
Yeah. Listen. It is a part where I think Penny has. We've talked about this before. Sort of his own personal growth, right? Which is when he came in. You know, he was used to maybe a certain kind of treatment from the media as a player. And when, you know, coming in as a coach, he took it a little personally, you know, at the beginning. But I think as he sort of, you know, this is, like you said, year 8.
Well, it's out of your control. We're maybe with some of us at least are dealing with Ryan Sauerfield, who it feels like is sort of where Penny was perhaps a year and a half ago, whatever else, going in that season when Penny felt personally attacked. Because what we see is trying to sell that what you've done is enough. Penny realized, and he said it to Jeff Goodman right there, it's not. I have to win in the tournament. We've said it about Ryan, who, yes, what, 21 regular season wins the last 2 years, got 6-0 this year. That all looks great, but we've said no conference title. That's the part that's missing, and that's why Ryan Sauerfield, frankly, hasn't appeared on this. But we've heard right? Oh, well, what about the bowl wins and everything else? In the end, yep. you have to do your job, which is to win the conference titles and then take everything that comes with that. That's where it goes back to Penny. And so, you know, at times it's felt like Ryan has taken it personally. But you look at the, hey, look at what I've done. And you guys are criticizing me when it's not that. It's about, again, cashing in on everything that's there to be had with now this level of investment. And you just wonder, I hope that Ryan can get to a similar point. Now, he'll, you know, he's doing interviews with the chosen few. But let's be real. This, I mean, we've seen him sort of in, hasn't voiced it necessarily the same, hasn't voiced it the way Penny did.
Yes.
And gone off like Penny did. But we haven't seen a turning of the page either completely like we've seen with Penny.
Right.
Like, it's good for him. It's what he should focus on. Forget the media. Just win.
Right.
He'll say great things
about
it.
That's the way it works.
It's the way you handle the media.
Exactly. And other news, KenPom released its first rankings of the season, which you'll be very happy with, I think. Memphis came in at 52, which is tops in the American. South Florida came in at, what am I missing it here? They came in at 104. You know, they're first at Torvik. They're all the way at 104 in the American. North Texas 88, UAB 98, and again South Florida 104. So Memphis is what, 36 spots higher than the next best AAC team? Mess. It's the best way I can put it.
I would say this is why you should subscribe to KenPom.
You're a KenPom guy. You're not a Torvik.
Prove it to me, South Florida.
Right. I agree with that.
And I don't know about being that far down in terms of, because Torvik clearly likes them for a reason, to have them above Memphis and to have them in the out of the 100s, which is a terrible thing for your conference, especially on a day you're trying to do media days.
Right.
I don't think they're that far down. I'm praying they're not that far down for Memphis and for this conference, but... I think you had to give Memphis the benefit of the doubt. Analytically, eyeballs, you know, prophesying, whatever you're doing, you have to give the Memphis the benefit of the doubt over South Florida with his new head coach.
I agree.
Who did beat you with Arkansas State, but this is you're now in the league.
Yes.
You know, Penny's got a chance.
Yeah,
he's seen you play now.
It's hard to know. Pernetti did say he doesn't want to do a preseason media poll because nobody knows, but he wants to do a coach's poll. Like, what's the difference? I guess you have more reverence for the coaches than you do the media. I don't know. But that's the big news that I've seen come out of, you know, of course he's always working on scheduling, blah, 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 you know.
Blah, blah, blah.
Your league sucks, man. Your league sucks.
They should just come to Memphis for this media
that's
day.
That's what I was thinking.
Everybody
like,
interview
not come
Penny,
to Memphis?
Have the coaches come here.
Why the hell are we going to Birmingham? It makes no sense. It's not any more centrally located than Memphis. In fact, Memphis is more centrally located than Birmingham.
Could have had it here. Could have done it down to Peabody or something.
They don't want
and everybody had
Memphis.
Barbecue, you
right?
Know. But you know what it is. That's why game day's not coming. I saw them down there marching.
I guess here's the thing. I guess the reality is
what they're saying about us nationally
is that they know Memphis doesn't really want to be in this league, and so they don't really want to incorporate Memphis in that way. Like, I think that's what it feels like to me. It's like Memphis doesn't want to roll out the red carpet for the American, so the American doesn't want to include Memphis in whether it's the tournament sites, whether it's the media day, whether it's anything. They just don't want to. It's kind of like a sexless marriage right now between those two. I mean, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to make love to the American. Do you? I don't, unless I'm just that desperate.
Awful. You guys are too early in the marriage to not want to touch it.
I never wanted to be in the marriage in the first place. First of all, I was sold a bill of goods. Like, when we got together, you were fine as hell. You know, you had a banging body. You had Houston. You had Cincinnati. You even had Central Florida. You know, you looked damn good. And then, I don't know, you let yourself go. You let yourself go. You gained 75 pounds. You know what I'm saying? You didn't address it. You just let yourself go. And, yeah, now I'm looking elsewhere. I have been actively trying to leave you, and I've had affairs.
Big East don't even want to talk to you. Ain't even pick up the phone. You try and date her.
I've had affairs. Now, sometimes I get rebuked. A lot of times I get rebuked by
you tried to pay for it.
Hey, I got to do what I got to do, brother.
She didn't like the look of you.
High dollar ones.
That she wouldn't even take your money.
Now, it is a sad day when I couldn't even pay for play. However, Do you think that will
That's
stop me?
That's how rough you look.
Do you think that is going to stop me? No, it's not.
They need to take another look, don't they?
We need to get divorced.
Come out, ain't nothing changed.
We need to get divorced, and, you know, you need to stop fighting it.
You got to have somewhere to go, John, before you jump out, as Ed has told you.
Yeah, well, I'm still
going to... Ed, about your marriage, your current marriage.
I'm still going to continue to have that wandering eye no matter what. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, you know...
We get it.
I mean, the Pac-12 and I, you know, were serious. It was a serious... I thought it was about to happen. I thought it was about to happen, but...
You're going to live in a trailer park.
The Pac-12 was a lizard lot. In the end, it was a lizard lot. Butterhead. And... I frankly, you know, wasn't getting enough out of it. And it was like, you know, do I really want to lower myself to this? Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lower myself to this. So, and plus it was just a lot of travel. I don't want to have to go that far for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, we will continue to stay in this terrible, awful, sexless marriage in the American. And, you know. It is what it is. We'll have to deal with events in Birmingham and Wichita. And where's the tournaments at? Do we know? Didn't they put them somewhere like random as hell? I know Memphis didn't get them. Are they also in Birmingham?
Yeah, Birmingham.
All right. So Birmingham and the American are just 10 toes down with each other. They're made for each other.
Centralized locations.
They are 100% made for each other. But anyway, American Media Day is going on right now. And, you know, if we hear anything else of note, I doubt we will, but if we hear anything else of note, we'll pass it along.
Big story in college football, James Franklin fired after 12 seasons. And he had become basically the butt of all jokes, especially after losing to a UCLA team that they were 20-point favorites over, had an interim coach. Then you come back and lose for a second consecutive week to a team you're favored over by more than 20 points.
Crazy.
So... I guess Penn State said, no need to wait. We'll pay this $49 million, second biggest buyout in college football history, behind only Jimbo's 76 that he got from A&M. I didn't realize that the 49 would put him second. I mean, it's considerably behind Fisher's, but number two ever. And Franklin, who could not win the big game, that was the knock on James Franklin, but he was even losing the games he should win. There at the end, they decide to move on. I've already heard speculation about how hard it's going to be if Penn State wants to go get a playoff-level coach.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to talk to him?
Right.
You know, how long are you going to wait would be the point there. Do you go find the next Kurt Cignetti instead of going after Kurt Cignetti? Do you go get Matt Rhule? You know, what do you do? Do you look at the guys that are right now, you'd say, are headed towards a playoff berth? And again, when would you get a chance to talk to them? And so doing this now obviously leaves you with a whole bunch of questions in terms of how you operate, what's your next step. But it was inevitable. I know losing Eiler to a season-ending injury is one thing. You can talk about injuries, but for James Franklin, who had lost, 29 losses to AP-ranked teams, 19 of them to top 10 teams. He wasn't getting it done. While, again, you could say last 12 years with where Penn State was, you know, you look at the whiteouts, you look at the atmosphere, you'd say, okay, James Franklin did a good job of pulling them out of the muck, but could not put them where they need to be at this point and where they've been projected to be for a while. And so James Franklin out of there, $49 million buyout, I wonder.
Your eyes on some others.
I wonder about Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
Down at Florida State. Now, John texted me, and I should have already checked, but this is a story still about James Franklin, but that we think Norvell's buyout might be around 50?
It is 50.
Okay.
That's what Franklin's was.
Florida State, 49, and it's the second biggest ever. Florida State fancies itself an SEC-level school, right? That's where they want to be. So do you, after allowing Mike Norvell, who lost his eighth consecutive ACC game going back to last season, do you allow Mike Norvell, who just a couple years ago was undefeated, doing great things, but look at where the program is now. You talk about laughingstocks. I mean, that's what they've become in the ACC. Georgia's got something important, it looks like.
I'm just checking this because this Jeffrey and I have been talking about this, and Giannotto put out an article about all these buyouts just a couple weeks ago.
Yep, whether they pay them.
A ton of these drop down dramatically come January 1st of next year, including Franklin's. They could have got him out for like 1.5 or 2. They weren't waiting.
They were so embarrassed by losing at home to Northwestern that they wanted him out now.
I wanted to look through here to see if there was anything in here about Norvell. There's not. So I don't know if he has that clause or something like that. Cignetti.
I doubt it because, as Dan Wilkin points out, he just signed an 8-year extension with Florida State because they thought he would go to Alabama.
After he went.
Yeah.
In that playoff, whatever.
So, with that 13-0, the Jordan Travis because, year.
Yeah.
But in that contract's left him at 50?
It was an $80 million deal.
Yeah.
So that was 2 years ago. So $50 million is remaining.
What can he do more damage from a brand standpoint keeping the job than you do to yourself paying the 50? I know in this day and age, everybody is saying, and this has been the conversation, that athletic programs aren't going to do this anymore. They can't afford to do this anymore.
$53.3 million to fire
in this era.
After this season. It don't drop. All right? I mean, you know, it'll drop annually, but by the time it gets to a number that is quote-unquote palatable, like you asked.
They can't beat a team in the ACC, bro.
They can't beat a team in the ACC. That's exactly right. He chose a quarterback that can't throw. They gave a ton of money to a quarterback. Because to me, okay, now you're getting the NIL money and you're not spending it wisely. Forget the coaching.
I mean, I was bought in after they beat Alabama to start the season. I said, he's got them back. They're physical. Look at this Malzahn offense. But isn't that sort of a sign, too, when you have to go and get the OC, the old OC that has to come in and help you?
Yes.
Didn't we just do that in Arkansas? That's sort of that. What I would say is that I know they had just signed him up, but look at what he was coming off last year. Look at what he had to sort of, you know, give up, whatever it is, play calling. You have to have your offense reimagined. Just saying, man. Do you do more damage if you're Florida State allowing him to coach the football team that continues to go this way than you would paying the $53 million, even in this era where we're saying athletic departments may have to tighten up on this kind of spending when it comes to buyouts?
Well, I think the answer
Penn
to
State
that is,
just said, we got to do it. Wonder if Florida State will say we got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's obviously like the Alabama win, we're going to look back at the end of the year and say, what in the world happened in that game? It's probably the most random win of the season.
They were so physical against Alabama in that game. That's why I thought it was real.
They got destroyed by Miami. They lost to Virginia. They lost to Pitt, who I believe had a quarterback making his second start ever. Maybe his first start ever.
And I think they were down receivers or something, but I don't care about that. It's just like I don't care about the quarterback for James Franklin.
At home? I mean, that's just as bad to me as losing to Northwestern at home. I mean, I don't think there's any real difference there. So
I'm not rooting for it. I'm just saying, can Florida State afford to be a team that can't win an ACC game?
They're going to have to pay it. They're going to have to do it.
It's supposed to be a bounce back year.
They'll give them, you know, the rest of the season to you know, finish it out, and then I think they let him go. And the question, you know, I think it brings up, and maybe this isn't fair, but I think it brings up, like, for Ryan Silverfield's candidacy in these jobs, this is now two Memphis football coaches that have made the jump to Power Five and both been fired. Now, maybe that's just the nature of the business,
right? The nature of the business.
Like, you get fired. Like, I mean, lots of coaches get fired. There aren't a lot of great ones, you know. There just aren't. Now, I could say Dan Lanning. I mean, Dan Lanning came from Memphis, technically. I mean, he didn't come directly from, but he did work here. So it's like, who gets the, you know, where does it stop and start in terms of who gets the credit for where you come from? But, I mean, it's probably just a Norvell and Fuente situation in these jobs. Both tough jobs, I would say. Following Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech was not easy. And then Florida State has been a mess. They have been through several coaches, right? Like, they haven't been a power in a long time. So probably as much to do with the difficulty of the jobs as anything else. But, yeah, I mean, I think your brand has taken such a hit.
Everybody on that coaching tree story lost except for Silverfield, who's on by. On that athletic coaching tree story, Dan Lanning. When you said his name, that's what.
What about old Pete Limbo, though, fool?
Pete Limbo was not mentioned.
I know, but he should have
been. But Lanning lost, Dillingham lost, and Norvell lost. Silverfield wasn't playing.
Buffalo?
That's crazy.
Buffalo was off.
That's crazy, dude.
And that Pete Limbo doesn't count because he was already a head coach.
Man, it was. I wasn't going to go here. Well, we hadn't talked about it, but it was McAfee. So he took off shirts with Lanning.
Mm.
Right, got him pumped up, but he's working for the Hoosiers because his wife is a Hoosier. He's Indiana through and through. So that's what I'm talking about, man. That kind of stuff right there where you side up with the enemy. And he didn't, and Lanning got played. He absolutely got played that day. game day pumping up. Like McAfee's on your team. He's taking the shirt off with you, getting you all pumped up. And but he's working for Cignetti. You know, he's got, again, he's gassing you up, bro.
Yep.
For the downfall.
Yep.
And he picked Indiana right there on game day afterwards, after doing it to him.
Yep.
And Lanning got played. So yes. I just want you to know that, Dan Lanning.
Yeah, well,
you and Dante got played.
Oregon was probably fake good. You know, we were kind of basing everything on that Penn State win, and they should have lost that game. Penn State's a fraud. And
Penn State is indeed a fraud.
Now, James Franklin, is he going to work again? Or is he just going to take that money and chill for the next?
Taking a chill and do TV. That's what he's right. about to do.
Hell yeah.
And we love him on TV.
Dude, you got bro, let me tell you something.
The best thing about James Franklin is that Keegan doing the impression of him. Have you seen him when he runs out as James Franklin?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Bro.
The straight arms, the straight back doing it.
He can no longer do it. It's one of the best things he does.
It's on YouTube?
Is his James. Yes, dude, it's everywhere. So it's viral. What are you talking about? They've allowed him to lead the team out there. He runs out as James Franklin. It's the best thing he's ever done, Keegan Michael Key. And now it's been taken away from him.
It's really
But when
good.
He runs out and then does the interviews as James Franklin, Penn State coach James Franklin, it's unbelievable. It's fantastic work.
I see it now. That's
he looks
funny.
Just like the dude running out.
The damn pants.
And it's dead. Now that's dead. And hopefully, you know, you've ruined the best thing that Keegan Michael Key does.
That is funny. That is pretty damn funny, I got to say.
So he's not going to be able to work anymore.
Now,
he does. He gets a lot of commercials. He gets a lot of stuff.
Like putting the he's like getting them hyped up. He's like, you know, putting the hands on the helmet.
You know, he's like a Juilliard trained actor or something. I think, like, whatever it is, broad, you know, that road. But, yeah, he does a fantastic James Franklin, but it's over now.
It is over.
Anyway,
I won't remember much about the Penn State era under James Franklin. I will remember that it should have probably been more. That's what I will remember. Like it never was. It was never like. I mean, I guess last year, you know, you had a chance against Notre Dame to go to the final, the title game. And he throws a pick, but I'll never. I guess he did hand Memphis a belt to ass in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, that was nothing though. Right. Come on now, we were going through a coaching change.
That's true. It was a lot of pressure because Brian Silverfield was fired if he doesn't win.
I was thinking about him compared to Silverfield in the sense that, you know, you say big game coach, but Silverfield's actually won some, you know, beaten some ranked teams. Those things he has not. Where he's the same as you haven't won your conference title. And you haven't won to the level we say, okay, well, this is what you've got to show us. Penn State never did that. And that's what we're waiting on from Ryan Silverfield, is to win a conference title. Last year should have been the one, felt like. But this year, things could be lining up.
Yeah, it could be.
And we'll see what happens with Mike Norvell. Is Florida State looking at this and saying, you know what, we may have to do something. We may have to pay the 53-point-something that John just said it was.
Right.
It's not 50. In this day and age, that's... You got to be careful.
Well, this is why, like, all these schools are, like, trying to get in bed with private equity now.
But this would be two straight embarrassing seasons following the 12-0.
Absolutely.
And so he's right there now. Can't get lost 8 straight ACC games.
That's unacceptable at Florida State.
James Franklin out. Mike Norvell next. We'll see.
Yeah. Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl.
Calm your horses.
I'm saying it on October the 13th. First of all, a Jets fan can't press no buttons today.
Man.
Your quarterback can't even throw for 50 yards. All right.
Are they negative passing this week?
Aaron Glenn is the worst coach in the NFL.
Stop. Now, don't put that on him yet.
He is.
You do that to a brother so fast. You just like the NFL.
I knew I was going to have to beat the racism allegations. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's a brother. He is terrible. At the end of that half.
Might be.
At the end of that half, when he and Justin Fields were staring each other down, like that America's Got Talent scene with Diddy and that dude, and they were just looking at each other like they didn't know what the hell to do. They're like, do we call a timeout? Do we let the time run out? It's 4th and 1. Well, and then they just decide to let the time run out. Man, how is that an NFL staff? How is that an NFL coaching staff? Nobody knows what to do?
You're looking into the eyes of a man who doesn't, you know, he shouldn't be there, Justin Fields.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There's nothing in there.
He just reacts. He is definitely not a quarterback at all. Like he is. You were talking about like misposition.
I said it about him last week before this game, and we saw it again. This guy, I mean, love him to death. Great athlete. Should not be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He is like a. I'm not gonna say it, but he identifies as a quarterback, but he's really a receiver. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a trans quarterback. I'm just he's a receiver.
I'm not pressing buttons again.
Bro, I don't know what it is about having you as the producer, but this dude
he's
working his way towards at least a suspension.
Yeah. But it's a new phenomenon that we're seeing in the NFL. But he is definitely not playing his correct position. And so a Jets fan cannot push a button on a Super Bowl. I'm just saying
that was a mess, George. We're holding you responsible.
You should.
Let me ask you this.
I'd apologize to the citizens of London.
First of all, huge win for the Chiefs last night against Detroit. I mean, Detroit threw everything they had at them. And I know they're banged up, and that's a real conversation to be had. Like, they're playing Arthur Mollett out there.
Man, we had nothing in secondary. We had to put a piece of art out there. We love him to death.
He's 32 years old. Still getting active roster checks.
Patrick's eyes lit up, as you pointed out, as soon as he saw him out there.
Really unfortunate.
They went straight to Kelsey out there on the edge.
They did. It was very, very sad. But again, he got that game check, so you cannot take that.
I'm happy for him. This dude's put together, we've said it, a great NFL career.
Very quietly, one of the better NFL careers from a Tiger product. Quietly, I mean, it's just the truth. but Chiefs win last night, and let me just go through the teams, right? Let me just go through the teams. Rashee Rice is coming back, okay? They're finding their offense in the absence of Rashee Rice, and he is back from suspension next week. So let me ask you this. They've beaten Detroit, so that's already taken care of.
Yeah.
We know what they do to Buffalo. We know what they do to Buffalo. Every year, it's the same story. Buffalo beats them in the regular season, then they lose in the playoffs, whether it's in Kansas City, whether it's in Buffalo. Same thing every year. And I'm not even convinced Buffalo's great. Like, they have Josh Allen, and that's all it is. And most weeks, that'll probably be enough. But against Kansas City in the playoffs, I'm going to say no. All right, let's keep working our way down the list. Kansas City better than Philadelphia? They did lose to Philadelphia in Kansas City. But since then, we have seen some real issues with Philadelphia.
Two teams going separate ways offensively.
That's exactly right. So I think you would say today, Kansas City would pick.
As of today.
You would pick over them. All right, so let's keep working down the list. Chargers beat them, have since lost everybody on the offensive line. Like, now, if you tell me that in 8 weeks that offensive line is healthier again, maybe we can have that discussion. But without that information, I'm going to have the Chiefs over the Chargers. And the Chiefs were like dog crap in that game. They still had a chance to win late. So I am going to say that I would pick them over the Chargers. All right, give me another team. Who else am I worried about?
Colts.
Come on. Patrick Mahomes versus Daniel Jones? You're taking Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you are. I mean, they're 5-1, 4-0 at home.
Who else?
They're winning well. There is nobody else.
NFC, like the Rams?
You're not putting the Steelers there, that 4-1 record.
That's right.
I suppose it could. You know, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, this defense has improved week to week, but they're playing dogs. Cleveland's a dog.
I just think it sets up pretty well for Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah, Pittsburgh would not. If I'm KC, I would not feel threatened by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and then the Texans whoever. I mean, again, I know they lost to Jacksonville, but Jacksonville lost to Seattle. Jacksonville was a fraud. We talked about why they lost that game. It was not because they were the worst team. It's because they committed a billion penalties, and like you said, they committed none last night.
Zero is very impressive after a, 13 penalty performance the week before.
That cost them the game. Mm-hmm. So I think Kansas City's getting back to the Super Bowl. I think they win the Super Bowl. And maybe in 4 weeks another team emerges. Like, maybe, you know, there's another team that maybe Philly figured out, or Detroit gets healthier, or something along those lines. But the Ravens, like, you would typically always have the Ravens in that mix. They're out. They're a disaster with Lamar's injuries.
Yeah, they'll be back after the bye.
But he ain't going to fix that defense.
We'll see if they can catch. They played a little better the defense this week.
Right.
But they may be too far behind. We'll see if they can catch the Steelers. They're going to need the Steelers to stumble.
You know, the Patriots are on the way up. But
they're going to have to make it as the division winner.
Right.
Baltimore. Because no wild cards coming out of the North.
Exactly.
I don't see it.
Exactly. You know, Baltimore, New England's on the way up, but they're not ready yet. You know, I think maybe in 2 years they could have a say. I mean, Packers. I don't know with them, bro. Like, it always seems extremely. Every time I tune in to watch them, everything looks difficult. Like, it just doesn't. I don't know. Maybe they could do it. Maybe they could beat them. But I'm just not really sold on Jordan Love coming out on top in a matchup with Mahomes. 49ers banged up.
That was a game that you would have thought.
Yes.
Coming off the bye week.
Yes.
You know, Flacco beat you with Cleveland.
100%.
I thought their defense going to dominate that game. Get to see Flacco again. Coming off a bye week where you've had a chance to get Micah Parsons sort of fully, you know, get him up to speed with your defense, just in terms of all your film work and everything else, and That was surprising to me. You know, that Green Bay sort of playing.
Agreed.
I'm surprised. I thought they'd be more dominant by this point. So
the Buccaneers are the most fraudulent 5-1 team ever, in my opinion.
Dude, I mean, you have to give them all the credit. Dude, he doesn't have receivers.
I mean, that is true.
Lost Buka in that game.
That is true.
And he still finds a way to win. Baker, that's why I say Baker Mayfield right now is your MVP. This guy's basically put the team on his back and said, I'm going to carry you through. Now, you could certainly make the case for the usual suspects, the Josh Allens of the world and everything else. But nobody quite has that team on his back and has lost what Baker Mayfield has lost and still has his team right here.
Yep.
I just say he has to be in the conversation. Any conversation about MVP, maybe you put him at the back of your line in that conversation, but he has to be in it. He has to be.
Yep. That's fair.
That run he had, did you
that
see him
amazing.
Getting up, man? DBs hitting him off after throws. He's getting up in their face. After this run, dude, they're all on board the Baker Mayfield train. What a leader this dude is.
Yeah. No, he is that. He is incredible at that. And he has put himself firmly at least in the top three discussion of MVP. Now, Josh
Who's the
Allen,
other one? Josh and who? Patrick back Mahomes, now, you're saying? Because the way he's playing. I told you this year was going to come back. That it was a slow start.
Yep.
But I said it was going to be scorched earth tour. Because of the man talking about he had dad body and everything.
That's right.
He went and got the new haircut. This is a different dude. All his weapons are getting back.
Yep.
Dude, Travis Kelce is starting to look like he can't hang. Because I'm still seeing great Patrick Mahomes.
That's
and
right.
Travis is bobbling stuff. Hell, heck, he got Xavier Worthy killed early this year, you know, running into him. He said he said that was my bad on that route. He wasn't, you know, I'm just saying. You know, it just looked like an offense that's kind of moving on and trying to hang on to this guy. Even the one dude where Mollett, where he had zeroed in on him, he hits Travis bobbled that thing.
That's
first.
Right. That's right. It was a routine catch. He made it way harder than it needed to be.
He's looking real good, and I mean, real old in an offense that's shaping up and getting sharper. Now, maybe again, he can catch up. We've seen it before. He comes alive in the playoffs.
No, I mean,
I've written him off before.
But that's what it is kind of down to.
They're looking
now.
Sharp,
it's like,
though.
It's just like, can you make some plays for us in the. He's like their third down guy. Like, that's all he is now.
When he gets Rice back, man.
That's scary. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you heard Collins was on the broadcast. It was very interesting. He said two things. And one is, there's a buzz in the building about Rashee Rice coming back. Mm-hmm. And two, people he's talked to said they like this Chiefs team better than last year's team who won 15 games. And I can understand why they say that, because the offense looks better.
Defense last night against Detroit, I mean, that's, again, That's a high-powered offense, you know, on the other side.
Hold them to 17 points.
And after a week where your effort was questioned.
Yeah.
Remember in that game against Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
Trevor's on the ground. You don't do anything about it.
Yes. Now, so, with that being said.
Quite an answer.
As we're sitting here glazing the Chiefs.
Well, they're a dynasty. I mean, they already were that. The questions we were asking is, can they come back? And many had written them off early. Mm-hmm. So it's a very valid NFL question at this point, the way they're
playing. Right. With that being said, you know, this is how thin the margins are in the NFL. If Amon Ross St. Brown does not drop that 4th-and-2 pass, the Lions are going to be up 17-6, almost assuredly, with the Chiefs only getting the ball twice in the first half. And then they're going to be behind the eight ball. I mean, that game, I have no doubt about it. That game turns out very differently if Amon Ross does not drop that pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had everything going. I mean, they ran the ball really well. You know, Goff was basically getting kind of all kinds of time back there for the first half. And then to only hold them to seven points?
Yeah.
The rest of the game is just, I would have never thought that in a million years. I mean, the Chiefs, their execution in the second half, really from that point on, after the Lions didn't get that 4th-and-2, the execution from the Chiefs on both sides of the ball was just flawless. They didn't make a mistake. And when they don't make mistakes, whether it be penalties or like Mahomes turnovers, like usually he'll do one of those a game. But and I guess he almost did with that fumble. But they just didn't make a mistake in the second half. And when they play like that, no one's beating them. No one's beating them. Now, they don't always play like that. But, I mean, you're talking about getting the most out of guys like Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
And now here comes this guy that's been in the cryo chamber for 6 weeks, who people forget. But he's like one of the best receivers in the NFL when he's healthy. Like, he's small sample size when he was healthy, but he put up big numbers.
Dude, Xavier Worthy last night caught one, then turned it reverse field, and it just showed off a speed that reminded me of Tyreek. Just it gives them a different – it gives that offense, which has looked, again, slow at times as it's tried to get these receivers and everybody else into the fold, you know, and off – you know, off, done with their off-the-field issues or injury issues.
Yep.
That guy, you saw a speed that, you know, that sort of made that offense dynamic in a way you've only seen flashes of.
Yeah.
So if it continues, you get Rashee Rice back, yeah.
In three games last year before he got hurt, Rashee Rice had 24 receptions, 208 yards, and two touchdowns. I mean, that's three games. All wins, by the way. They won a lot of games last year. But, yeah, that's what you're getting. And then in 2023, which was his last full season, he was a rookie, of course. 79 catches on 102 targets, 938 yards, seven touchdowns. And he's obviously better than that today. So it's a real problem for the rest of the NFL. That felt like one of the more notable outcomes of the weekend. Any other ones for you?
Over the weekend, notable
kind
outcomes.
Of a weak slate, really.
Yeah. I mean, Ravens not finding a way without Lamar. Again, you could be burying yourself to a point that there is no coming back from. We'll see. Bye week, everything else. I don't know. I'm super focused on tonight's game.
The Commanders and the Bears. There's a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
7:15 on ABC. I hate these so much. 6:15 on ESPN, Bills, Falcons. 7:15 Bears and Commanders. You will only be watching the one.
Yeah. I'd probably – maybe I'm thinking about this weekend, and maybe it was sort of – it's the bottom and what we saw, the continued unraveling of teams like the Jets, but also the Dolphins situation.
Yep.
You see that where Tua goes up there afterwards after throwing three picks.
Yep.
And says, guys, didn't make the team the player-only meeting that we had. And so our chemistry is off. You can't do that after you just had a game like you had in the loss in that game. And so whether it's Mike McDaniel having to answer questions about that, you know, about Tua's player-only meeting that players didn't show up to, so now Mike McDaniel looks silly. You know, wait a minute, you got stuff. Folks aren't showing up to the quarterback's meeting. What do you have to say about it? He's like, and then, I mean, this talking about blowing another one, that Dolphins situation is headed for change at both head coach and quarterback. And it's probably the best thing for the franchise at this point. Because we've seen what Tua is. When he is on timing and everything, and everything is perfect.
Yep.
Because it feels like it needs to be for the most part. He can operate efficiently. But not when the cards are stacked against him. You get him off his first read. They've talked about that. Many of the experts have said it. I mean, the DBs have said it.
Yep.
Get him off his first read. Make him have to move around a little bit. Interception coming. And that's the Tua you saw. And now we're questioning, how are you leading? If you at least be strong in the other categories, be the face of a franchise. Now you're questioning teammates at a time you should be saying, this on me, I just threw three interceptions, I can't play like that. It's pretty simple. That's kind of quarterback in 101, face of franchising 101. He's not doing that anymore. They can get off that contract. I think it gets a little easier to do. Just seems like change is coming from Miami. It needs to.
Yes. Absolutely. So NFL, great slate. Maybe not such a great slate this week, but you know, some notable games certainly for some teams that are surging and some teams that are going in the wrong direction. We're getting the full picture now.
Let me go ahead and hit this here because it certainly won't be in our Respect Burger portion of the show at 1 p.m. Grizzlies played another preseason game. It was number 3, and they're 0-3. Hawks 122, Grizzlies 116. This game occurred on Saturday night. Not sure if you all knew. Looked by the attendance. Maybe you didn't. But the Grizzlies are now 3 games into a 5-game preseason. All of their home games in this preseason now completed. As we said, 0-3. Made a run there in the fourth quarter. Scored 41 points. Cedric Coward was in there at that time. Cut that lead down to 2 with 2:15 left. So if you thought Atlanta had run off with it completely, and it wasn't going to be a game, and I wouldn't necessarily blame you for that in the first half. You got a little bit of one there late, but Atlanta closed out 7-1 there to finish them off. Jalen Wells, Cedric Coward both had 15 points. Was Coward's second straight game, scored in double figures. He got it looked again the same. Got it all late, scored 13 of the 15 late. It's a rookie who hasn't played basically an over calendar year, getting his feet back under him. And you can kind of see him getting more confident at the end of these games, albeit, you know, who you're playing against, all that stuff matters. But right now, you want to see Cedric Coward getting comfortable. It appears that's happening towards this. He gets more aggressive toward the end of games. Again, you're not seeing it with Ja Morant. And so we'll come back to that. But KCP, 13 points, 3 of 4 from three. He's done everything that you want to see from him as a veteran. I think we've seen that now from him and Ty Jerome. Santi Aldama, 10 and 10. And the second 10 is probably the more important to me is the rebounding, particularly at this time when you're what, just two more preseason games away from the start of your season. Santi Aldama going to be big when it comes to helping out on this glass, because you know Jaren Jackson's not his forte, even if you've got him back to start the season. Santi and his rebounding, in addition to his scoring, hopefully increased, is going to be a big key for the Grizzlies this season. I say all that to say that's about all you can draw, because when you are not playing without Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, there is not much to glean from these games. We talked about it with Drew Hill last week. It's hard, and it was hard again Saturday. Again, I've seen what I need to see from KCP and Ty Jerome. Problem is, and I thought Harrington put this well, we've said it too. You're trying to relearn a new way to win around Ja and Jaren, and you haven't had them in the mix to start this off. So what does that ultimately mean? Well, this ain't you know, rocket science here. You're going to start the year, if Ja and Jaren haven't played at all in the preseason, you're going to start the year trying to figure this stuff out on the fly, and guys getting adjusted to them on the fly. And so while everyone else, that again, you look at the preseason, the Hawks had their starters out there. You know, everybody else is sort of doing that right now. Not sort of, they are. You're going to be doing it at a part of the early season schedule that's kind of, I wouldn't say easy, but it's set up to really, if you got off to a good start here and you knew what you were doing and Isolo's system is firmly, you know, implemented, then maybe you feel good about the way the schedule lines up to start. But you don't, if I don't feel as well about it, if I haven't seen Ja at all. So I say all that to say, you got another preseason game in 3 days against, it's on Wednesday, against the Charlotte Hornets. Unfortunate that Ja couldn't make one of the preseason games here at home. I still would think it'd be very useful for all of us, but particularly to Isolo and those guys that have to now get used to playing at Ja Morant's speed, to get him out there for one of these final two before you, especially if he's okay,
right,
as we all seem to think that he is, and he has basically said that he is, to get him out there before you open the season October 22nd. Otherwise, you're going to be having your preseason when everybody else is starting their season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem, man. I mean, and that's why people like the under. That's why there are people out there that like the under on the Grizzlies win total, because of all of the things that you just talked about. Because we don't know. We don't know how this is all going to look. We haven't seen it. And it's gonna take place in the midst of the season. Now, there are ebbs and flows with any season. That's the way it goes in the NBA. But, I mean, I just think, you know, based on what they're going to be missing. Now, maybe if Jaren's out there for opening night, it can be less painful, right? I think that's fair. But if he misses, you know, again, I don't have the information. But if he misses a week, if he misses 2 weeks, I mean, you know, I don't know how many games you play. You play 6 games. You go 2-4. You know, it's nothing in the grand scheme of a season. But
certainly hoping he's not going to miss that kind of time.
Yeah.
But you're still going to be shorthanded with no Edie.
Yeah, you're going to be small on the glass. And so I don't really, you know, I mean, we know not only does Jaren not rebound, he's foul prone. So even when he's on the court, is he really going to be on the court? I mean, these are all very fair questions. And I think to assume it's all going to kind of break perfectly for the Grizzlies, like, are Ja and Jaren really going to be allowed to be their full selves without some of those pieces? You know, like, yeah, when they have Steven Adams or when they have Zach Edey, you know, and that big presence that fortifies it, that's one thing. But they're not going to have that. You know, they're just not. Both of those guys depend on it. Ja needs the mass to set screens, and Jaren needs the mass for rebounding. Mm-hmm. To help take the pressure off of him to do that.
Yeah.
So they're not going to have that, at least for the first three, you know, 4 weeks of the season.
And as fast as the Grizzlies played last year, at times they were number one in the league at it. You know, turnovers came with that. Turnovers a huge issue for the Grizzlies last season. We wondered if Isolo would slow it down just a little bit to clean it up. But my point is, if you don't have Ja Morant and this team of, let's be real, it's Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, a bunch of role guys, at this point, if they're not used to playing with him at this speed, well, what's that going to do again in terms of turning the ball over and giving these other opponents extra opportunities? How do you clean that up
exactly
when you haven't had a chance to sort of have a preseason runway with Ja on the floor? I could see, hey, expecting Cedric Howard to be in a spot, and Ja's thrown it there expecting that, and Cedric's not there, you know, or the other way around, Cedric expecting it, whatever else. And because you haven't sort of worked through these things in the preseason, it just sets you back for what feels like could potentially be a slow start. Again, it doesn't have to be, but you will be shorthanded, particularly on that glass, without Edie, significant portion, it feels like, maybe it gets to November, and then without Brandon Clark. So whether it's Jaren, whether it's Santi, you know, Jock Landale, You know, you are going to be challenged, particularly up front. You've been getting killed inside. Now, Jaren, particularly with the points in the paint, Jaren's going to help even that out. You've been getting absolutely bashed.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the rebounding, it doesn't help you so much in that category, and there'll be no Brandon Clark to throw at it early. So, again, what's the start of the season going to look like when you haven't had your two key cogs in there any during the preseason? Yeah, great that they look healthy, everything else, but could lead to a slow start. Hey, in the West, you can't afford to get off to rough patches and everything else. Otherwise, you're going to be fighting from behind. So, again, next one is Wednesday at Charlotte. Will be fourth of five preseason games. Season opener October 22nd against the Pelicans at FedEx Forum.
We'll come back. Lots more to come. I'm going to do Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock and then Jeff Coggins at 1:25. Jason and John, I just turn FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Blacktown Moving has changed the move in the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. Whether you're moving in Memphis, whether you're moving out of Memphis, cross town, just moving from one place to the other, all good. They can handle that move for you. And I would recommend doing it, right? Like, I'm 34 years old. I will never, ever help you move. I ain't lifting a finger to help you move no damn furniture. Not a chance. Even if you get evicted, call Blacktown, man. All right? I ain't helping you. Too old for that. I got kids. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie can handle that move for you. They're pros. They show up when they say they're going to show up, and they stay on budget. Black Tie Moving. Change the move in the city of Memphis. We have an NFL coach firing. And you're welcome. I know I'm not going to hear it. I know I'm not going to get the respect and admiration and love that I deserve for my role in it. But the Titans have fired Brian Callahan after 1.5 seasons on the job. This, of course, on the heels of a more embarrassing than it looked 20-10 loss to Las Vegas yesterday. They moved to 1-5. The Raiders moved to 2-4. And look, the Raiders are a bad team. You watch that game, they are a bad, bad team. And they dominated the Titans in this game. It really should have been worse. It should have been worse than 20-10. I guess they did end up scoring a garbage time touchdown late in the second half. But yes, this was one of the worst coaches in NFL history. I mean, however you want to measure it, he gets a number one pick. And at no point in this season, have you ever thought that Cam Ward was getting better? At no point. I mean, this Cardinals loss or win, I should say, it's way more about the Cardinals being broken than it is the Titans having anything fixed. And so this was obviously going to happen after the season, no doubt about it. But the fact that they're doing it in season is like, it speaks to his incompetence, because that's exactly what Brian Callahan was in Nashville.
Yep. Hired by the previous GM, who has already been shown, his way out, Carthon. And so this was inevitable. If Callahan wasn't good, every GM is going to want to get his own man. And it looks a lot like the Bears, separate from the GM switch, that this wasn't your hire. This looks a lot like the Bears situation in the sense that you're potentially ruining a number one quarterback, and you have to get, as John said, a plan around him.
Yep.
Callahan had no plan, and he was the hire of the former general manager, so this was a death pill. I mean, at some point he was going to swallow it, and it was when you're going to give it to him. Now, what you get is a little bit of juice in your locker room, right?
Yes,
locker
that's
room
right.
says okay,
that's right.
And you see what you know. You see what that can do for Cam.
Yes,
right. What the team can now do, but it's all research at this point, because what you wanted to do was get him away from your quarterback. You know, your quarterback who you're still invested in. You've still got high hopes for. You look at Caleb Williams, again, I would look to Chicago with, especially the way he's played with Ben Johnson the last couple of weeks, and you say, okay, we'll go get an offensive guy, right, to go put the next offensive guy. Maybe it's Kellen Winslow. I don't know. I mean, you tell me who the hot offensive guy is right now. But you'll go tell yourself, yeah, we'll do what the Bears did and not waste our number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's
inevitable.
It was totally inevitable. And it's interesting that the timing of it is what's interesting, because this is the week of the Vrabel return to Nashville. So I don't know if they didn't want to get, like, they thought, like, all right, let's just minimize the embarrassment. And maybe we get a new coach bump this week.
Maybe. I think maybe the timing of this, it would have been earlier. Again, this is not his hire, the new GM, if Arizona hadn't gift-wrapped you the game last week. Remember, you're supposed to lose that one. And so it was always headed for this. I'm not sure if Vrabel coming in makes any difference or not. What I'm thinking is maybe you get it delayed because you won for a week and you're trying to see, hey, a way that Arizona, come on now, gave them that game.
They
you weren't supposed to.
That one.
You could have easily been fired after that one. And you're holding on to see, okay, we're going to win two in a row? Yeah. No. Looks like same mess against a team that don't look, you know, it's been a little bit of a mess itself in the Raiders.
Yep.
All right, let me do this now. You know, not so worried about Vrabel or anything else, but just I need to cut this off before it gets worse.
No, that's exactly what it was. And it was just a bad hire. I mean, sometimes it happens.
Yeah, that's on Ran, Carthon.
It is. I mean, like, I never, like, the Titans should have never been that bad. You know, I think Aaron Glenn is bad, but I also think he inherited a very, very bad situation.
Oh, yeah, from the ground up.
You know?
That one's bad.
There's just no, like, the Titans have pieces here and there, right? Like, they have, like, a good offensive line. They have Jeffrey Simmons defensively and some, you know, a little bit of talent back there. I'm not trying to make a case they should have been a 500 team or anything, but, like, I came back to this. Brian Callahan was one, and this is where, to me, it matters. He was not only one of the worst coaches in the NFL in terms of win-loss, he was one of the worst coaches against the spread, which means that he was underperforming market expectations week in and week out. Not just losing, underperforming in those losses. Now you've given him a number one quarterback, and you can't possibly risk – you can't stunt his development anymore, right?
Right.
Like, you got to get somebody in there that obviously this year is a loss. It's a wash already, but
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.